football on Off the Ball.
Well, let's not go down that road of, let's see if we can play a bit of football, lads, because if we go and beat North Macedonia, say we play a 4-3-3 tonight, we beat North Macedonia 3-0 and it looks okay on the eye, everybody then is saying, I tell you what, we're not a bad footballing team, we should go back to that. I tell you what, lads, give it over.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Good evening, you're welcome along to Tuesday night's Off the Ball. Owen here with you till 10 o'clock. And there's no getting away from the fact that the Republic of Ireland didn't want to be playing this fixture tonight. They'd much rather be playing in a playoff final against Denmark tonight in Dublin. But neither do tonight's opponents, North Macedonia, want to fulfil tonight's fixtures either. They were put to the sword by Denmark last Thursday night on a 4-0 scoreline. But we are getting the band back together from Prague. So for a reunion of last Thursday, we've got Stephen Doyle and Stewie Byrne on commentary duty. And the kickoff time at the Aviva Stadium is at 7:45. Our number is 0879 180 180. If you want to send us a WhatsApp message, we're looking at the images coming through from the Aviva Stadium this evening of the Ireland players out on the pitch. And we can say hello for the first time this evening to tonight's match commentator, Stephen Doyle. Steve-o, how are you doing?
Yeah, very well, Owen. How are you doing?
All good. So this could be described as the beginning of the rebound, I think, in terms of how Heimir Hallgrímsson feels, how this team feels, how this whole country feels about this team. This is not the beginning of a new chapter or the turning of a leaf. This is, as the team news suggests, a chance to just get some sort of good vibe going around this team again, because it's not going to be flush with new faces, certainly not from the start anyway.
No, it's just three changes to the side that started the game in Prague last Thursday, Owen. So Ryan Manning and Jacob Ryan dropped to the bench, and obviously Jack Taylor unable to play in tonight's game. So they're replaced by John Egan, Liam Scales and Jason Knight. Interestingly, John Egan, 33 years of age, of course, having a great season at Hull City, and he's in to win just his second cap under Heimir Hallgrímsson. He was obviously unavailable to Hallgrímsson a lot of that time for due to injury, but also was just overlooked in the squad for a few months as well. So good to see him back in the starting team. It's his first start since September 2023, when Ireland were beaten by the Netherlands here in the last European Championship qualifiers. Liam Scales obviously in, he was suspended for that game in Prague, so a like for like swap there between him and Ryan Manning. Excuse me, and then Jason Knight, who some people felt might start the match in Prague, the Bristol City captain, is in to start instead of Jack Taylor. So it's Kelleher in goal, on John Egan, Nathan Collins and Darrow Shea, Coleman on wing, on the right wing back position, while Liam Scales on the left, and then it's Jason Knight and Malumbi, the deep lying midfielders, with Ogbeni and Pizzazz just ahead of them, and Troy Parrott leading the line. Players there just out warming up on the pitch at the moment, on, they're over on the far side in front of the west stand, and they're just going through their paces, getting ready for tonight's game against North Macedonia. And you know something, I'm kind of looking at this game now. Listen, I suppose we've got to put our grief to one side over not playing at this summer's World Cup. It's a massive, massive disappointment. But I just felt, you mentioned at the top of the show, and I was going to use it for my my match intro tonight, just those words of Troy Parrott, because they've really stuck with me, him saying to the supporters after the game, stick with us. You know, he's emerged as a leader in this team, both on the pitch for his performances, but off the pitch as well. I think he's spoken really, really well to represent his team after, you know, the highs and also the lows. And I think he really has become a firm supporters' favourite over these last few months. And I do think the fans will listen to him. I said it to you yesterday in the show. Look, I can understand maybe people living in Cork, Galway or Donegal, and with the prices, the price of diesel gone up so much, fans might be struggling to afford even to come to the match tonight. So you can understand fans living afar, a long way away, not coming to the game. But I do think the supporters are going to get behind this team tonight. They might feel like they owe them support, the support after the incredible highs of November. And I know it was disappointing what happened last week, but I do think they'll come out and maybe just give the players a flavour of what they're going to expect over the next couple of years, because as we know, Hallgrímsson is in place. He has signed the contract to remain in the job for the European Championship campaign. So the supporters need to come out and show the team that they're going to be backing them all the way, and hopefully to what will be a successful qualifying campaign for the Euros. We know Ireland probably have place there anyway due to their host situation. What an incredible couple of years we could be looking ahead to, and maybe with some hope going into that Euro 2028 tournament.
Yeah, well, the boss you mentioned there, Hamer Halgrimsson, who is going to be in charge all the way through until at least the end of Euro 2028, he has been speaking to Ben Symes, our reporter, just a short time ago.
Hamer, probably not the game we would have wanted this evening, but still a real test to try to keep on the momentum from the last couple of games here against North Macedonia.
Absolutely, absolutely, and absolutely correct as well. This is not the game that we plan to play in front of our fabulous fans. But that's our task, and we've been trying to get motivated for this game. Obviously, first days were tough. A lot of broken hearts that needed some time to kind of fix. So we felt like the last two days have been really good. Yesterday was... Yeah, the kind of the best I've seen, and everybody is motivated. Hopefully, they can show it on the pitch. The continuity that we want to see, number one, but also first and foremost, give a good performance to the fans that have been absolutely amazing throughout this campaign.
If you look at the team sheet, just the three changes from the game in Prague on Thursday, John Egan, Jason Knight, and Liam Scales come in. Were you tempted to make any more changes and experiment a bit more?
Yeah, obviously, and probably we will see some changes in game, and we also need to be careful on the players. Obviously, they played 120 minutes with all that kind of followed afterwards as well, so mentally tired and physically obviously tired as well, and they are playing Saturday, some of them are playing Friday even, so we need to be careful on their behalf, not be selfish in everything, so we take that into account, and definitely if we have a chance to, we'll see some players that haven't played many minutes for us, and they really deserve to get some time. I've praised the kind of the team spirit, and that's included, of course, and maybe as important, the guys that are in secondary roles that have been in secondary roles have been absolutely fantastic throughout the campaign, and yeah, big credit to the team and the team spirit.
You've been asked a couple of questions about Seamus Coleman's future during the week. He starts again tonight after playing over 90 minutes tonight. I presume this quashes all questions about his fitness levels at the moment.
Yeah, and his mentality. It's really when you look at it from a scientific or fitness or whatever, not only he's not a 17-year-old, but he hadn't played much, and just to deliver that kind of performance is unique, and it shows his kind of pride to play in the green shirt and for his people. Mentality can overwin a lot of things. He's here because he played really well, and he helps the team to play good. So that's the reason he's playing.
Just finally, obviously the fans who are here will look to kick on, and thank you for the hope, I suppose, that you've given the nation over the last couple of months. What would it mean to the team to give the fans maybe something on the pitch today to thank them as well?
Yeah, absolutely huge. That is the reason we kind of motivate ourselves, is to give the fans what they deserve. And everyone likes to perform good today. And to be honest, I expect so. I absolutely believe so, that we will come in ready for this match, even though it's a friendly, and the one that we missed was a much bigger game. But I expect, and I honestly believe, that it's going to happen.
Hamer Halgrimsson speaking to Ben Symes there a short time ago. We can go back to the Aviva Stadium to say good evening for the first time to Stewie Burns. Stewie, how are you holding up?
Hey, Owen, all good, yeah, all good.
You feeling ready for this? The possibility of being re-energised by an Irish performance, is that starting to hit home yet?
Yeah, I think it's hit home already, yeah, to be honest. I mean, if you think about... I mean, I suppose there's a different way for supporters to deal with these kind of things. It certainly seems like it's devastating, and for a number of different reasons. But to the players, it's the same kind of thing. But unfortunately, they're professional footballers, and they're under constant pressure to perform regardless of the circumstances, and I suppose there are difficult circumstances going into the game tonight, but these are players that are well conditioned to deal with these different sorts of feelings and so on and so forth. So look, I think they'd have had a day of, on Friday to kind of maybe reflect. I would have imagined a little bit of time off for the players maybe, and I think, you know, they would have given themselves a little bit of a slap on the face mentally, and just kind of started to prepare for the game, tonight's game of course, on Saturday, Sunday. And you know, by all means, when you look at the starting lineup, mentioned this yesterday, you'd certainly felt that every one of those players would have wanted to have played in this game, considering how things transpired on Thursday night, and that's pretty much the case. I think you know, a few knocks in the camp, but it's as strong a team as I think you could have felt.
Yeah, like two of the three changes are the debatable decisions that were up for grabs before the game in Prague. Like, a lot of discussion would have been, is it going to be Jason Knight or is it Taylor? Taylor got the shout last Thursday, it's Knight tonight. And then at left back, maybe it was always going to be Manning or Brady. Now, to be fair, it's not Brady who's in there tonight. It's Liam Scales, obviously, in there. And then the third choice is John Egan coming in for Jake O'Brien. What do you read into that? I mean, is this, you know, like, we don't want to, we've been talking so much about the possible end of the road for Seamus Coleman and Robbie Brady. John Egan, I'm sure, is possibly thinking about, you know, will he or will he not make it to Euro 2028 and that whole campaign. But I'm not sure. Does this suggest something deeper with John Egan at the moment?
I'm not too sure how much you can look into that stuff. I can only really answer that question from my own experience when I hit a certain age. And what I found was that I suppose you do hit a certain age as a footballer where, you know, you kind of feel, look, I can't do that anymore, I can't do this anymore, but there are certain things you can do. You can lean on your experience. You maybe would have lost a yard or two in terms of pace, but you make up for that in other aspects. But I suppose the point I'm trying to get to is that the older you get as a footballer, and not too dissimilar to the older you get as a person, you do tend to, I suppose, relax a little bit when it comes to certain things. You mightn't be as serious about certain things, and that can actually make you a better player, which is quite funny enough. And I think in John Egan's case, and as it is in the case of a lot of players, and I would bring maybe even Coleman into that bracket, you know, you relax as a person. You don't tend to take yourself as serious, and you just become, you know, all of a sudden you're starting to play your better stuff again. And then this changes your mind in terms of where you maybe thought you might have been. And I think that's the case with Egan. I think he's had a very, very good year so far at club level. He may have thought that his international days were numbered, but probably just didn't make a call either way on that. Just kind of focused on football. And look what's happened. He suddenly found himself back in the starting 11 under a new manager. Under a manager you maybe would have thought didn't fancy him. But I do think what this shows you is that Helgumson is of such a character that I don't think he closes the door for anybody. He's quite pragmatic. He maintains an open mind, I suppose. And John Egan starting the game tonight is a very, very good evidence of that.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. You're listening to Stewie Byrne there, who will be back over to you very shortly indeed for some final thoughts, and also keen to get the lads' thoughts on what the stadium actually looks like and feels like in about half an hour's time once we're getting closer to kickoff. I'm sure people are still filtering their way into the stadium right now. Our number is 0879 180 180. Arthur O'D has joined me in studio. How are you getting on, Arthur?
Flying, how are you?
All good. We'll go through some of today's stories. So elsewhere on the football front, the Republic of Ireland under-21s have picked up a last-gasp 1-0 victory over Kazakhstan in the Euro under-21 qualifiers. Oisin Gallagher grabbed the winner in the last minute of normal time there. So Jim Crawford's side sitting 5 points behind second-place Slovakia in Group D. Meanwhile, the Republic of Ireland's under-17s have qualified for back-to-back World Cups. So Cillian Murphy scoring a hat-trick as they hammered Slovakia 7-0 to book their spot in the finals in Qatar. And last year, of course, you'll remember that Ireland reached the last 16 of the competition. So positive news on both fronts from the 21s and from the 17s this evening. Meanwhile, in terms of club football, Tottenham Hotspur have appointed Roberto De Zerbi as their new head coach. The former Brighton and Marseille manager has signed a 5-year contract. He's going to be Tottenham's third boss of the season and takes over with them a point clear in the Premier League's relegation zone with 7 games of the season left to play. They travelled to Sunderland on the 12th of April in his first fixture in charge. The reports today, Arthur, that there is no relegation clause in the contract for De Zerbi, which seems unusual, but then again, I guess if there was a relegation clause, that would also be reported. People are like, oh, look at this club putting in relegation clauses now for their managers, because it's such a distinct possibility.
Yeah. Who'd want that more? Do you think he would with, I suppose, the not really probably wanting to manage in the Championship, or then with the astronomical money he is going to be earning? Not befitting a Championship manager, I'd say.
I presume if it was tough to find a deal or a middle ground between them, finding an appropriate relegation clause would be an even more difficult thing to agree with Roberto De Zerbi. Don't know exactly what he's earning, but it does...
Yeah, it's not going to be... I mean, I suspect he's wielding most of the power in those negotiations.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but it's a strange move. It's a strange move at this time. It's... I still kind of have that reaction that they're probably not going to go down. You know, that you'll just that same sort of thing. That's like you kind of don't necessarily back the other teams to outperform them over an 8-game run. Like, but at the same time, if there was any element of doubt, which there plainly is, I don't know if he's the man you'd want guiding you through it. I mean, it does feel like this is the one you make in the summer when you're safe. But God almighty, if he ends up taking them down, I don't know what that does for how he starts off next year regardless. He won't be the centre point. He's not going to be the blame. It's not going to necessarily fall on him. But it's such a... You go back to the Ruben Amorim thing at Man United and the negative start that had, that he was never really able to salvage it thereafter, because however high they were getting back up or kind of resuming to the norm, it was never at enough of a pace to compensate for what had come before. And this is a risk. It's a risk all ends up, but I guess they have to take risks.
They do, and I see there's been a lot of criticism of how long he has spent at various clubs, either by dint of the fact that he's been sacked at these clubs or as a result of him actually leaving the clubs. So, I mean, it does all come down to these 7 games. This is not a long-term project. Although, as you say, he's possibly more likely to be manager midway through next season if they're in the Championship than... midway through next season if they're in the Premier League. I don't know. The thing for me on any manager discussion is, if you don't like candidate X, who is candidate Y who's going to be better than that person? And I'm not sure any of the other candidates in this debate around who would succeed Igor Tudor have been impressive in any way.
No, but I get that. But I also, I suppose, we're not equipped with the information to make that decision. You know, at the same time, it's like, because we can't think of names or whatever, but it shouldn't be just who's available or what are the names you can think of.
Igor Tudor wouldn't have been a name.
Not have been a name, but I suppose there are Italian links there with the club.
Paratici.
Yeah. So that kind of made him, I don't know if that called his name, but that always...
I think
made
he's distancing himself
sense.
from such yeah, a decision and sure. He's not at the club.
I'm sure he did. But I just think... Look, maybe he'll be a fine choice. I don't think he will.
He keeps them up though, right?
I think they'd keep themselves up. Like, I don't think they're going down. I do think you probably had to make a call because it's getting a little bit scary for him. But we were kind of saying this last night, like it's maybe 2-3 wins and you're fine. That's not nothing when you can't buy a point. But it is. It should be enough. It should be okay.
The magic 40-point number. They're 10 points away from that.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Okay. I just think I'm surprised by it. It seems like another for all. Obviously, there's a lot of reservations about some of his conduct at Marseille and stuff, and that notwithstanding, he is quite a volatile figure. I don't know if more volatility is what you want to introduce into this scenario.
A volatility where these players believe
and kind of realise their own sense of confidence and self-worth in the most positive way is what they're going to be hoping for, as opposed to the crushing sort of personality that Tudor brought in his first couple of games. I just want to turn to rugby here, because Leinster senior coach Jack Nienaber says it is devastating to lose Jorge Snyman for the rest of the season. The South African World Cup winner ruptured his ACL in the right knee in the URC Champions' recent loss to Glasgow. Nienaber says it's tough on Snyman to miss the business end of the campaign, and he's been speaking to our reporter Dara Smith-Nocton.
Yes, it's unfortunate that it happened to him, and everybody will be familiar that it's a third time similar injury. I always believe that you have to look at the positives of it, so it's something that he would be familiar with, the rehab process of it and how things will go forward. And knowing RG being a positive person, I mean, for him it will be, listen, let's get the operation done and then crack into the rehab side of things, which he will be very diligent. And he's a type of guy that would like to get himself ready and fit to play again as quickly as possible.
Have you spoken to him since you heard the news?
Yeah, no, I've spoken to him. Obviously, the confirmation of it happened relatively quickly after we played Glasgow, and he just sees it as is. Listen, injuries happens, that's unfortunate, there's nothing you can do about it. It's happened, life moves on, he's moving on, and like I say, you start focusing on the next things.
European rugby is back this weekend, and Leinster head coach Leo Cullen is also sweating on the fitness of James Ryan, Tadhg Furlong and Gary Ringrose for their Investec Champions Cup clash with Edinburgh on Sunday. Elsewhere, Cormac Isichuku is set to be fit for Ulster's Challenge Cup game against the Ospreys this weekend. The Ireland forward is back in full training after recovering from a concussion, but fullback Michael Lowry has been ruled out with a groin issue. Back to football, and Newcastle chief executive David Hopkinson says they've got no plans to replace manager Eddie Howe before the end of the season. They're going to return to action after the international break, sitting 12th in the Premier League following a derby defeat to Sunderland and a Champions League thrashing at the hands of Barcelona. Hopkinson was speaking after revealing the club's latest financial results, which showed an after-tax profit of £34.7 million. In Gaelic games then, Limerick midfielder Adam English says they're driven to get their hands back on the Liam McCarthy Cup this summer. John Kiley's side welcomed Cork to the Gaelic grounds for the Division 1A Hurling League final this Sunday, having lost to the same opponents on penalties in the Munster decider last year. Limerick have won 5 All-Irelands since 2018, but English is insisting they're determined to win even more.
The team has achieved a lot, but I don't think we've achieved enough. I think, sure, there's so much more there that we can do, that we can win. And listen, if like we never look back in the past. We're never like, oh geez, we've 5 or 6 All-Irelands. You never look at that. You always want to win more. And I suppose you've such a short frame where you've only maybe 12 to 15 years max where you're playing at inter-county standard. So you want to win as much as you can. So listen, I don't think we ever look back in the past. Maybe when we were all retired, that we will. But at the minute, no, we're full steam ahead.
That was a bit of a loaded question to set you up there. I guess what I'm getting at is like that hunger that must exist within the group. It must be really ferocious right now, given that, you know, you probably didn't achieve what you wanted to last season, in particular against Dublin and the year before as well. So what is that like? What's that energy like?
Yes, like obviously we were very disappointed with last season and 2 years ago. Like, Joe, you know, I suppose we took for granted that times were so good in Limerick that, you know, losing, you know, we hadn't really felt it in a long time. So listen, we took it very hard, and this season, you know, the hunger has been incredible. You know, I suppose if you would have asked us in the first round, that if you would have told us that we would have been in the league final, we would have bitten your hand off it, because we lost to Waterford. But yeah, listen, our trends have been incredible. The intensity and the standard has been through the roof, and yeah, listen, the hunger is still there.
Just a couple of other bits to bring you today. Trainer Aidan O'Brien says he's trying to get Albert Einstein and Gestad back into the 2000 guineas at Newmarket. He's revealed that a computer error led to his horses being excluded from the May showpiece. Albert Einstein was the anti-post favourite, while Gestad was coming in as the winner of last year's Coventry Stakes at Royal Ascot. And finally, FIFA President Gianni Infantino has continued to insist Iran will play at this summer's World Cup despite the ongoing conflict with the co-hosts, the United States. Tensions have escalated since the US and Israeli airstrikes on Iran in February, with Iran retaliating across the region. There have been doubts over their participation, but Infantino says there's no plan B and the team will compete as scheduled. This is not on message with his close friend and the man who puts his hand into the puppet, Donald Trump. I think Trump's stance on this has firmly been to sort of gaslight Iran into pulling their team out of this World Cup so that he doesn't have to look like the bad guy in all of this.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? There's no plan B is a crazy thing to say. I guess, does Gianni Infantino serve FIFA first and foremost or serve himself? I'm not sure where it lands, but I guess it does. The scrutiny becomes even greater on him, I guess, if something like that does happen. It's harder to present the whole thing as a wonderful success, though they will regardless. So I'd say he can't countenance the idea of Iran not being there, anyone not being there. It just does, it opens it up to a whole new range of kind of ugliness that I'd say he'd rather not have to contend with.
Yeah, I think if you were calling it today, you'd have to say there's a decent chance that he will actually participate in the World Cup. But if you're calling it tomorrow when new information comes to light, who knows what your conclusion might be?
I'd say they will. I'd say no more than the way we see these things happen, that they can, even though there's such kind of real life concerns there, but they wield an awful lot of power, and I suspect they can use it as such when they want a certain outcome. And I think they would, yeah. I'd be far more surprised if Iran don't play.
Yeah. The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contain sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 ml tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.